Yeah, so wherever we log into the Bhagavad Gita, every verse is meaningful, every chapter is meaningful. And there, it's not like a story. Each chapter conveys one particular topic, one particular issue. But any of the shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita, if we pick up even one shloka and apply in our life, it will change our life. Because this was a message given by Bhagavan Sri Krishna himself to Arjuna when he was confused about his duty and he did not know what he should do. And we all face the Arjuna syndrome at many times when I don't know what is my duty. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What is my purpose in life? So the Bhagavad Gita not only addresses Karma Yoga, as Neeru and Shilpi told us, but also many other topics besides karma and service. It talks about bhakti, who is a true bhakta, not only one who goes to the temple and prays, but what are the qualities of a devotee, how he or she deals with the world, with other people. That is what is covered in the 12th chapter. Also, the path of knowledge is throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan tells us who we are, what is our purpose on this earth, why am I here, and how should I live my life, starting from the second chapter itself, where Bhagavan says, you are not only this body, but you are that supreme consciousness, that spirit that has manifested, and that's what you are. So right from the beginning, the highest knowledge of the Upanishads is given to us by Bhagavan Sri Krishna in a capsule form. The Bhagavad Gita is a simpler explanation of the Upanishads. And once we have studied, then we get ready for advanced knowledge. But the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is at all levels. It is applicable to high school students. We are teaching them Bhagavad Gita in Komal's class in the Yuva Kendra. But it is also applicable to adults, to sannyasis, to seniors. So it is a knowledge that is applicable to all of us. It is a manual of life. And people say, "Are you know, I will start studying after age 65, after I retire. Abhi to it's time for me to have fun." It's like saying, I have bought a new equipment, but I will read the manual of the equipment when I have to turn it in and get a new one. I have to start using it now because Bhagavad Gita is given to us to live our life correctly. And it is a very practical application of these teachings. It's not some theory that Bhagavan Sri Krishna gave us, but how to practically improve our life, how to live in a pure way, how to live in a sattvic way, how to evolve our teachings to a higher level. So the path of service, path of knowledge, path of bhakti are all covered. And also the path of meditation, how to meditate, that also is explained by Bhagavan Sri Krishna. We do have a website where all the 18 chapters have been recorded. So if anybody wishes, we can let them know at the end. One other important topic that Bhagavan covers is the topic of gunas. As you probably all know, we are always under the influence of three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Sattva is purity, is knowledge, is clear understanding. And a person in a sattvic mode or a sattvic mood works for the higher. Seeing the one infinite consciousness everywhere works with that attitude of unselfishness and giving to the community, as we heard from the previous two speakers. Rajas is passion, is activity, and that is also required. We need to have activity to accomplish whatever we have in the world. So we are not saying that rajas should not be there, but rajas should be tempered with sattva, should be mixed with sattva, so that when I am working in the world, my activity should be sattvic, should be pure, should be unselfish. And that is why rajas and sattva both should be together. And rajas helps us to accomplish all the great inventions and the industries and the scientific achievements. So that is all due to rajas, but rajas has to be mixed with sattva. Otherwise, rajas alone can become selfish. If I want to accomplish and I want something and somebody else has it, If I take it dishonestly or at whatever cost, then that rajas becomes selfish. So rajas has to be mixed with sattva. And then the third quality is tamas, which means laziness, indolence. But that is also required when we want to sleep. When I want to sleep, not in the Gita class, but when I want to sleep at home, then I need tamas to go to sleep. But a person who is predominantly under the influence of tamas, then such a person lives a life lazy, indolent, expects society to take care of him. You know, I'm living on welfare as long as somebody is sending me a check. So what we say is that our life should be sattvic and rajasic. I should accomplish a lot, but accomplish it with purity. And the 17th chapter starts with Arjuna's question, where in the end of the 16th chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna had said, Tasmad Shastram Pramanam Te Karya Akarya Vyavasthitav. So Bhagavan tells us that Shastra should be your Pramanam. Let the scriptures be your Pramanam. Let them be your means to decide Karya Akarya, what I should do and what I should not do. So Arjuna asks in the beginning of the 17th chapter, I briefly summarize the 16 chapters, but basically in the 17th chapter, Arjuna says, Ya Shastra Vidim Utsrijya Yajante Shraddhayan Vitaha. So he says there might be an individual who has Shraddha, who has faith, but has not studied the scripture. So we say, yes, there is Bhagwan. I have faith in Bhagwan. And I know I should be a good person. You know, all the religions talk about the Ten Commandments and the Buddha's teachings. All of them talk about how I should live my life. So a person who is living his life, but without understanding the scriptures, then what is his gati? Is he sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic? So that's how the 17th chapter starts. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us that there are three kinds of Shraddha, sattvic Shraddha, rajasic Shraddha, and tamasic. And just as your Shraddha, so will you be. That's what he says. So if you are thinking sattvic, that will be your life. If you are thinking rajasic or tamasic. So we are a mixture of all three, everyone. The whole universe is made up of gunas because Prakriti functions through gunas. But the question is, which guna should predominate in my life? And Bhagavan says that those who follow sattvic tendencies, they worship the gods. Gods here also means saints and realized masters. So if I follow the teachings of saints, masters, Pujya Gurudev and all the Shankaracharya ji and all the acharyas, and live my life according to those teachings, then such a person is predominantly sattvic. How about predominantly rajasic? So he says, people who are rajasic follow yaksha rakshamsi. They follow yakshas and rakshas. Rakshas here means powerful people. Yaksha means kubera, wealth. So people who are predominantly rajasic, their whole goal in life is wealth and power. How I can get maximum power, how I can get maximum wealth. So we are not saying that one should not acquire wealth or power or be successful, but how can I serve the community with what I have? Pujya Gurudev said, what you have is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to him. So if I want to serve the Lord, I have to serve the people. That's why Gandhiji also says, Jana Janardana, people are God. That's what he taught us. That's why he called people Harijana, that these people are God's children. And so seeing God in everybody is true seva. Now the topic for today is tapaha. Tapaha means austerity. Austerity, sacrifice, where, you know, people do a lot of, you know, austerity. But what is the true meaning of tapaha? I will try to cover today as given by Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So their shloka number 5 and 6, we will chant together. Those who have the book can repeat after me. Otherwise, you can just listen. So chapter 17, shloka number 5. Ashastra vihitam goram tapyante yeta pojanaha dambahankara samyuktaha kamaraga balanvitaha karshayanta sharirastham bhutagrama machetasaha mam chaivanta sharirastham tanvetyasura nishchayan. Together, ashastra vihitam goram tapyante ye tapo janaha dambahankara samyuktaha kamaraga palanpitaha karshayanta sharirastham bhutagrama machetasaha mam chaivanta sharirastham tanvetyasura nishchayan. So Bhagwan had told us in the 16th chapter, there are two kinds of people, Daivi and Asuri. Daivi are people who are divine. Asuri are those who are wicked. So here he says that people who do tapa with the wrong ideas, people think, what is tapa? Stand on one leg and, you know, in the snow, in the cold, and not move. But that is not what tapa is. So we'll study what it is. So he says, a shastra vihitam ghoram. So people do ghor tapas without studying the shastras. Like we go to Kumbh Mela and you see people lying on a bed of nails and an elephant is putting his leg on them. We think, are wah, wah, that is great tapas. But in the next room, somebody is talking on Bhagavad Gita or Brahma Sutra, there will be 10 people, but there will be 100 people watching this person sleeping on nails because we think that is tapas. So Bhagavan says that is not in the Shastra. Tapyante ye tapo janaha. They do ghor tapa, but without understanding the meaning. And why do they do it? Dambha ahankar samyuktaha. For hypocrisy, to show to the world how great a bhakta I am, or for ego, to boost their ego, they do tapas. And what is the purpose of doing tapas? Kama raga. So kama means desire, raga means attachment. So because I can, through tapas, I'll get a lot of devotees, lot of followers, I'll get a lot of money. So palan vitaha, they are propelled by that. And then what do they do? So Bhagavan says, by doing this ghor tapas, karshayantaha, they torture their body. Sharirastham, bhuta grama machetasa, all the elements in their body, all their digestive system, their muscles, their everything is weakened by doing this ghor tapas. And they are achetasaha. Bhagavan says they do not think correctly. Their thinking is flawed because they think doing this ghor tapas will get me. But what do? They punish themselves and they punish me also. Bhagavan says, because mam cha anta sharirastham. I am in everybody's body as the life principle, as the consciousness. So when I'm torturing my body, I'm torturing the life in me, the life principle, which is Bhagavan's presence, and tan vidhi, know them to be of asuri thinking. Their thinking is flawed. And we find that people sometimes misuse this tapas, like we saw, you know, with like Ravana. He did so much tapas, he was a great Shiva Bhakta, but he used it to destroy the world, not to help. Hiranyakashyapu had accomplished so much. So we find that people do tapas, but do it for the wrong purpose. and without the right understanding of why I am doing what I am doing. So right wisdom is that tapa is self-control and should be done for sadhana, as a sadhana. So doing some amount of self-control, like we do fasting on Ekadashi, or we fast on Navratri, or we get up in the morning to meditate, or get up in the morning to do yoga asanas, to do some pujas. Those are good. But, and that's what they say, start your day with remembering God, not by holding on to your cell phone. And is that most of us do that. I also sometimes am. So start your day, and I had heard one Mahatma speak recently. He said, until you have done your puja, done your meditation, had your bath, and had your breakfast, don't turn on your cell phone. Leave it connected with the charger. So our day should start with puja. And so tapa is to purify the body. So doing this, getting up in the morning, meditating, do some asanas, pranayama, purifies the body and the mind and makes it ready for the higher knowledge. So correct knowledge, correct understanding, correct wisdom is required. And one should avoid extremes. Don't do extreme, you know, torturing the body. Don't do extremes of, or at the same time, self-indulgence. Too much self-indulgence is not good. So wisdom is required, right knowledge is required. Why am I doing what I am doing? So this reminds me of a story of wisdom. So this king and queen were going in the horse for a picnic on their horses. And the weather forecaster, he had hired four points. He said, Your Honor, tomorrow, Your Majesty, the weather will be clean, will be sunny. So king and queen were going in the horse along with their soldiers for a picnic. And this farmer was going with his donkey to the field. And he says, Your Majesty, where are you going? He said, I'm going for a picnic. He said, it's going to rain today. He said, what are you talking? Four of my weather forecasters told me it's sunny and not going to rain. So farmer goes to the field, king and queen go, and they sit in the meadow, and in 1 hour, heavy downpour, and they get drenched and their nice clothes get ruined and everything, and they have to run and hide somewhere under the tree. And finally, after, you know, when the rain stops, they are riding back, and horrible and miserable. So the farmer was coming back. He said, Your Majesty, I told you it's going to rain. So he said, you know what? I'm going to hire you as my weather forecaster. I'm going to fire those four of them. So he said, Your Majesty, it's not me. It's my donkey. So he said, Your donkey? He said, yeah, when it is going to rain, his ears go down. And when it is sunny weather, his ears go up. So I know whether it's going to rain or whether it's going to be sunny. So king said, you know what? I'm going to hire your donkey as my weather forecaster. And that started the tradition of hiring donkeys in government and putting them in very high positions. I hope none of you works for the government, otherwise I'll be in trouble. So Gadon ko, you know, that's the thing. So the point is that I should know why I am doing what I am doing, you know, how, and that's where the Bhagavad Gita becomes a guide, becomes a model of how I should live my life. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the Lord of the three universes. I don't need to work, but throughout his life, we see how Bhagavan tirelessly worked for the benefit of mankind, even with all the problems. Even in childhood, he had all these difficulties with these rakshasas, and throughout the how he helped the Pandavas, how he destroyed so many Kansa and so on. So what Bhagavan is telling us that take care of the body, but do not spend too much time in indulging the body. Yes, we need to be healthy, we need to look nice, but limited amount of time in the body and more amount of time in our spiritual growth. Because they say we are a mixture of body and spirit. Body is made of five elements, air, space, fire, water, earth, and the spirit is the enlivening factor. And giving too much time to the body and not enough to the spirit is wrong. But It has to be done intelligently, not with torturing the body. As a child, I had read a very beautiful story of a child named Siddhartha. It was not Gautam Buddha, but a young man named Siddhartha who later on met Buddha. So this young man named Siddhartha, he decided to become a monk. So he said, I'm going to become a Buddhist monk. And so he went to the forest to meditate and chant and all that. But he thought that I have to torture my body to do tapas. So he used to do extreme tortures. He won't eat for 1 month. He'll just drink water. Then he will sit for hours, not sleep. Some days he won't sleep at all, 1 hour, 2 hours. And for years he kept on doing that, where he became thin as a skeleton and not well at all. And he found that I am not progressing. I mean, to some extent with the tapas, he had some tejas, but he was not getting closer to the truth. So he said, I have sacrificed so much, suffered, I have not done anything, I have not achieved. So he goes into the city. He says, Chordoye, forget this. So he goes into the city and he meets this beautiful lady. And she somehow gets very attracted to this young man. He had still had, even though he was thin, but he had this tejas of so much tapas. So she said, you come live with me. And she was very rich. She had a lot of money. Very wealthy parents had left her a lot of money. So she said, you can live in my house. And so he started living with this lady and all kind of sense pleasures, you know, khana, peena, all indulgences, everything. And he started gaining weight, became a little chubby because he was not, you know, eating more and drinking and all that. And so this went on for a few years. And then he said, I'm not getting enough satisfaction in this either. You know, what am I doing with my life? One day he suddenly said, you know, one hand I was doing so much tapas. Now I'm here doing all this and, you know, just enjoying. And so that day he happens to go for a walk and he sees Mahatma Buddha, Gautam Buddha with his disciples under a tree preaching. And he looks at his face and he says, this is what I want. I want this kind of peace. I'm neither going to find it in torturing the body nor in indulging. I want to find the middle path. So he listens to the Buddha's discourse and then he decides, he leaves that girl and he becomes a boatman. He gets a job as a boatman and he drives the boat manually by hand and takes people across the river. And so he gets his physical exercise with the boat. He earns enough money so he can build a small hut and where he can do his prayers, meditation. But he lives healthy. And as he's rowing on the river teaches him. Because the river is eternal, it is continuous, it is flowing. So through the river, he learns. And through all these years of tapas that he had done, all that helped him. And slowly, slowly, he attains the highest goal of truth. Just by learning through the river and by doing his work and by... So the point is that that's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us. Don't overindulge and then don't overpunish the body. Stay in self-control, do your exercise, take good care, learn the scriptures. And that's what Bhagavan says throughout the Bhagavad Gita, that let the scriptures be your guide, how I should live. So that is what it says that in the sixth chapter, Bhagavan says it very beautifully. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapnava bodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkhaha. So he says, if you want relief from dukkha, from sorrow, then live a life of moderation, eating in moderation, sleeping in neither oversleeping or not sleeping at all. Neither overeating or not eating at all, not overworking. Some people, they work, you know, 16 hours a day. Oh, I'm a karma yogi, I work. No, work enough. At the same time, have time to give to the family. As Nehru said, there is no better thing in life than to take care of our children. As much time as you give to children is less. So work is essential, but it has to be balanced. So that is what Bhagwan Shri Krishna says, that if you want relief from sorrow, follow the scriptures, do your duty, do unselfishly, dedicated to me, dedicated to God. And whatever form of God you worship, you know, whether it's Bhagwan, Shri Krishna, Lord Shiva, or Sri Rama, doesn't matter, Mother Durga. But what Gurudev taught us and what Vedanta teaches us, that there is one Brahman, one consciousness that is all pervading. And each one of these forms of God are manifestation of that. Whether it's Bhagwan, Shri Krishna, Sri Rama, we see one. And that is what that's what Bhagwan says. Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. So Bhagwan says that everything is Bhagwan, seeing everybody, whether it's good or evil or anybody, even an ant, a bird, a fish. So that is the essence of Vedanta, that there is one consciousness, one Bhagwan, and we have all manifested from that. And the divinity is in every one of us. We all are potentially divine. We all are capable of becoming great Mahatmas, great saints, great teachers. All we have to do is revise and review this knowledge and realize the divine potential in us. So I'll end here. We have about 5 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments that they would like to add, anything that is not clear, we have a few people on Zoom. Anybody would like to ask any questions, either on this topic or anything else related to spirituality? Satish Bhai, you would like to add something?
No, I think we just have to be very conscious all day, all night, in our living, I mean, in our waking moment of these gunas. We have to, every action we take, every thought we have, we just have to be constantly thinking of what guna is predominant in our...
A little louder, yeah.
What guna is predominant in our present time. And that will give us the guidance as to how to live our life. That's all I had. So we have to be constantly thinking of it, right, so that guides us in staying in more in sattvic mode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I think as much as possible, try to stay in sattva. Even when I'm working in the world, it should be with a sattvic attitude, that how can I serve the community? How can I give back? Anything else? Anybody? Neeru, would you like to add anything? Any other questions? So we have this class every Sunday, 11 to 12:10. We meet in the room in the back. And we are on the 17th chapter, but you don't have to say, "Arey, I'll start from the first." Wherever we are, we can start. And then the 17th chapter will talk more about gunas. What is sattvic diet? You know, we always talk about diet. What is sattvic cooking? What is sattvic diet? What is sattvic dana? How should I do charity? How should I live in self-control? All that will be covered. And then the 18th chapter will summarize the entire Bhagavad Gita. The 18th chapter will summarize. So this will take about a year or a year and a half for us to complete the 18th chapter. And then we plan to start first chapter again. So you can join and then continue the 18th. And then again from first chapter, we'll start. But the first chapter won't start for about a year and a half, because the 18th chapter is very long. It has 72 shlokas and we do 3 per week. Generally we do. Today we did 2 because, you know, it was a shorter class. But generally, we do 3 shlokas, sometimes 4. So it takes about 5 to 7 years to finish the Bhagavad Gita. But each shloka, like even this today's shloka, if we just apply that in our life, today's teaching, it will change our life. And we have personally think there is nothing better than to study the Bhagavad Gita, because it is Bhagwan's own words given through his mouth directly to the student. And so this will continue. And then also throughout the week, we have other classes. We have a Devi group where they do chanting. And also after the chanting, we have a 1 hour class. And we are starting a new text. It's every Tuesday, 12 to 1:30. And we are starting a new text. From this Tuesday, we are summarizing. And then another one, we are starting the week after. So you can join the Devi group. We have evening study groups from 8 to 9. You can join those. We also have Gita chanting class, where you can learn how to chant the Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit class. So we have quite a few classes that we do from Sunday to Thursday. Every day we have one or two classes. So if you would... Yeah. We will post this. What we'll do is we'll post it on the WhatsApp, the weekly schedule, and the teachers can forward to you. So we'll send it to the teachers, the weekly schedule and the Zoom link. So you're welcome to join any of those classes throughout the week. And then Sunday, we do the Bhagavad Gita in person. If for some reason you cannot attend, Bhagavad Gita is also done on Zoom. We have quite a few students who log in on Zoom, but it will be better you come personally. That way you can participate in the Bal Vihar, see what your children are doing. And as Neeru said, when the parents come and give value to this knowledge, then this knowledge has better appeal for the children. Otherwise the children say, "Are, my mom drops me here and goes shopping, or my dad drops me here and goes play golf." Then we are not valuing this knowledge. If we truly want to value this knowledge, we have to sit and learn. And as Neeru said, when we first started, we didn't know anything. We thought, "Are, humko to pata hai, we grew up in India, we know what religion is." But when you listen to these Mahatmas, these great Swamis and saints, then you realize how much there is to learn. And whatever little I know and Neeru know, we are, because of contact with these great Mahatmas, we were fortunate to meet Swami Chinmayananda, Swami Tejomayananda ji, and all the other Acharyas, Swami Ishwarananda. And we do have these Acharyas periodically coming every other month during the week. But we would encourage you to attend the classes. Thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate it. And we can now, you can go to your children's classes. Yeah, I'll post that on the, I'll send it on the WhatsApp. The website is called firstpower.info. So that will be on your WhatsApp. It will be sent by your teachers. Thank you.
Now parents can go to their children's classroom. I hope you know which classroom your child is in. Room number 1 is 4th and 5th grade. Room number 2 is 8th and 9th. Room number 3 is 2nd and 3rd grade. Room number 4 is 6th and 7th. Room number 5, kindergarten and 1st. Room number 9 is 10th, 11th and 12th. All the rooms on this side.
And they are labeled on the door.
Yes. And if one or two parents can help with the chairs, so if
you just put them on the side, yeah.
After the meeting with the teachers, come back to the assembly. We do the art.
We'll do the
okay. Thank you for all that.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Michael.
No, I'm to talk to the kids now. Yeah. You do the opening prayer and then I'll have them do the Gita Shloka. Unko Gita Shloka karna. Inko sunne do. Chale gaye waise. Thode se hain. जो प्लेज करना है उसको बोलना आराम से। Take the books, Hariom.
You can pass out to everybody.
Please take the books.
You can pass out to everybody. Okay, sir.
Hariom, yeah. Just pass out the books. Thank you. Do you want to do it first? I can do that. Okay, do the bhajan first. Take the mic.
Take the mic.
Are you done recording?
Recording, dear.
Yeah.